forbids overtime.
And now, here is DJ Microbrew with 39 minutes of file checking, hacking, deleting the upper cut, and pasting the corporate media.
Parasite.
Hello and welcome to another installment of DJ Microbrew's
FSK Corporate Media.
I'm your host, DJ Microbrew, and here is another installment.
Break out the ammunition, if not enough, you point up my friends. Grabs the keys and tells me that she's out of patience. Then tells her friends what a loser I've been. The wall go up, the telephone is waiting. Can't you shut up if it happens again? Been building up, oh just been overrating. Time in the sanity fair.
Everything from red means to the big fool. When I take a bath, you wish I'd see your logo in my teeth. But I'd rather be happy, I'd rather feel good. I'd rather hear podcasts than listen to that crap from Hollywood. You think it's fantastic, wouldn't find that shit. In the TV generation, still I used to think you thought I had a mind. Now it's clear you just want my attention to convince me I'm no good without your precious product line. I'd rather be happy.
A decade worth of apologies. What social relevance brings me out of bed each morning with body bent but not broken and eyes wide open? And I'll ask you this. Do you feel like you're being tricked? Or do you just feel like you're being dissed? And street people walk around in street boots and street suits and talk about global capitalism since patriotism is suddenly mass consumerism. And since when is patriotism supporting the hate-filled spread of democracy when America is not a true democracy? And don't talk to me about unity. This looks more and more, it looks more and more like a monopoly. Disarm yourselves, cause these waters are wide and these waters are deep. You speak nationwide, but my ears have sprung leaks. And congratulations, Mr. President. You are no longer the punchline. You are every running joke. And a bandwagon aside, you are not an idiot. You are just ignorant, and now you stack everyone's private parts into it. Called my and the idealist, but maybe we just know that global justice is not achieved like this. And don't try to promote an effective democracy when, Mr. Leader of the free world, you've got this election rigged out flawlessly. And maybe Saddam Hussein was part of your corporate family, things would have turned out. They would have turned out a tiny bit differently. Disarm yourself, cause these waters are wild. These waters are deep. Move along to yourself when you speak nationwide, but my ears have sprung leaks. And Mr. President, you've got whole sections of bookstores dedicated to your ignorance, and when do you think that people will wake up and get it? And you sing your praises to this grand machine or this fascist regime, oh, to the American dream, white-collar, dollared, imperial scheme. Upper class fight for your upper class people. You claim you were sent in by the steeple. All I know is that you aren't elected by the people. Disarm yourself, cause these waters are wide and these waters are deep. I've been asked why I care about a country that is not my country. What a stupid thing to ask me. And this is not my war, and this is not my president, but we're living in a world where we need to speak up and speak relevant, because that hunk of land down south, it's desperate. And what social relevance brings me out of bed each morning with body bent but not broken and eyes wide open? I'll ask you this. I'll ask you all this, and I'll ask myself this. Should I feel like I'm being tricked? Or better yet, should I just feel like I'm being diffed?
Welcome to Media Minutes, a weekly review of news relating to the intersection of media and democracy. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Kimberly Cronick.
Big media loses big time at the U.S. Supreme Court. A coalition of media conglomerates and trade groups appealed a lower court ruling that stymied proposed FCC changes to media ownership rules, changes which would have allowed more consolidation and cross-ownership between radio and TV stations, networks, and newspapers. Last year, the Third Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia blocked the implementation of the revisions due to fatally flawed agency research that didn't adequately justify the changes. That sparked the industry appeal to the Supremes, who on June 13th declined to take the case without comment. Andrew J. Schwartzman is president of the Media Access Project and was lead attorney on the successful public challenge to the media ownership rules revisions. He's pleased but not surprised with the latest ruling, as this case didn't really fit the court's profile.
The criteria for getting the Supreme Court to hear a case, which are technical, have to do with whether there's a division among the lower courts and whether there are particular kinds of issues that would be of interest to the Supreme Court. And this case really didn't have them. The question in this case was whether the FCC drew conclusions that were not supported by the factual record, and that's not the kind of case that the Supreme Court is usually interested in.
This decision sends the media ownership rules debate back to the FCC to do over. There's been speculation that FCC Chairman Kevin Martin and the agency's Media Bureau may now try to push through changes in ownership regulations in a piecemeal fashion, as opposed to trying a second time to make wholesale revisions. But Schwartzman's not so sure that will happen.
We have a new FCC chairman who hasn't really shown us how he intends to proceed. We have a new Media Bureau chief. My own guess is at the end, Chairman Martin is not going to try to split the thing up into pieces. I think it will be make something that there could be some consensus on, very controversial, and I think he's trying to avoid conflict, would be my guess. But we'll see.
More than a million people contacted the FCC about the media ownership rule revisions, and more than 99% of them opposed any relaxation of the rules. There's also a chance that the media ownership issue could get rolled into a possible rewrite of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which Congress may begin later this year.
Not only did the sponsor of a bill in Congress that seeks to ban municipal broadband networks once work for one of America's largest phone companies, but he's still cashing in on its corporate largesse. Republican Representative Pete Sessions of Texas introduced the anti-municipal networking bill earlier this month at the behest of SBC, his former employer of 16 years. That's only the tip of the conflict of interest iceberg. His wife, Juanita, is a vice president in SBC's Internet Services Billing Department, and she owns stock options that are worth $500,000 when they were first declared a year ago. Both Pete and Juanita Sessions have also several thousand dollars in assets in other telecom companies that fear competition from municipal Internet service providers.
Trouble for public broadcasting continues to grow, under siege by conservatives who falsely accuse it of liberal bias. Now it's facing a complete loss of federal funding. On June 9th, a subcommittee of the U.S. House of Representatives voted to end funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting within 2 years. The House Appropriations Committee has since voted to restore CPB funding in 2008, but left it high and dry in the interim. The last time public broadcasting faced a similar threat was in the mid-1990s, when then-House Speaker Newt Gingrich attempted a similar maneuver which died after public outcry. Although federal money only accounts for 15% of all public broadcasting revenue, many state and regional public networks, especially in rural areas, run on such tight budgets that the federal assistance they receive makes the difference between fiscal life and death. And if that wasn't bad enough, there's more rough news on the horizon. The top candidate to take over as president of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is a former co-chair of the Republican National Committee. Patricia DeStacy Harrison also has a background steeped in propaganda. She's currently head of the State Department's Bureau of Public Affairs. Since 2002, the Bureau's produced some 60 video news releases pushing Bush administration policies, most notably the invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq, and these videos were shown both domestically and overseas. been listening to Media Minutes, a joint production of the Illinois Initiative for Media Policy Research at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization dedicated to media democracy. For more information, visit our website at freepress.net.
Good morning, world, with news and commentary for the 17th morning of June 2005. I'm King David McKenzie. Here's the way the world's treating itself this morning as of 11:30 UTC, and again, a late start to getting this material out to the World Wide Web, and I apologize for that. Part of that is because of the problems at my local internet service provider have been experiencing in the last few days, and especially yesterday, and I'll explain the rest a little later on. The war in Iraq is going so badly for the Bushites that now the congressman responsible for that goofy Freedom Fries campaign of a couple of years back, Walter Jones of North Carolina, is now signing on to a resolution calling for U.S. troops to be brought back home by, note this date, a month before the next congressional elections, October of next year. The Republicans now sense that they can lose the House and the Senate in those elections if the war continues to be as unpopular as it is. John Conyers held his hearings on the Downing Street memos yesterday, carried live on Pacifica Radio and C-SPAN 3 and C-SPAN Radio. Excerpts are also appearing on indymedia.org. The latest CBS News New York Times poll shows GWB on some bad skids with the American people. 61% don't like his handling of the economy. 61% don't like his foreign policy. 63% don't like his war on Iraq. And 75% don't like his handling of Social Security. And among Americans aged 30 to 44, his dislike numbers have jumped 14 points in the last month alone. And all of that leads to exactly why I'm doing these newscasts. And I'd like a moment to explain all of that. I am, as Lord Buckley might have said in the 50s, a history cat. Just the fact that I should even know who Lord Buckley was should tell you how into history that I am. Back in the early 60s, the motto that topical folk musicians like Phil Oakes and Tom Paxton worked on was, "Know the new facts early." And if there are two things that the mainstream media seem to constantly get wrong, they're the new facts and the history. And it drives me right up the wall that people who I know should know better are acting as if they don't. I'm physically disabled. I have a spinal condition. And I'm living in a Wisconsin city of a few dozen thousand. But these people in the so-called hubs of the media world are doing such a piss-poor job of documenting what's happening in the world that it makes it necessary for guys like me to reach past the pain in my spine and use whatever skills I have to mop up their mess and show some sense of what's going on. There are some days I can't do as much of it as I want to, some days because of my infirmities, some days because of others' infirmities. Today happens to be a combination of the two. I get no money whatsoever for doing this. I'm limited to an income of less than $1,000 a month, on which my daughter and I try to make it through this day and age. And that's from SSI, and of course we know what GWB is trying to do with that. But I also still have the responsibility of pointing out things I see as a member of American society and as a member of world society. I owe a lot to the folks at radio.indymedia.org and radioforall.net, and especially Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org for making these platforms available to me. And that's why I always ask on each of these broadcasts, on these internet casts, if you will, to support them as much as you possibly can. And as long as I have air in my lungs and blood pumping through my heart, I fully intend to bypass those who refuse me the platform of the commercial media and still get the new facts and the history that places them in context out to you here. My email address is thevoiceoflabor@centurytel.net. I'll repeat that once more. The Voice of Labor, all one word, at centurytel.net. And one of these days I will explain exactly what that email address is all about. And if you're in the La Crosse, Wisconsin area, I'll be playing blues and jazz from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. tonight on WLSU FM 88.9. Radio from the University of Wisconsin La Crosse campus. You do your best to survive the weekend, and so will I. Oh, I have one last thing. The European Prospective Investigation into Cancer and Nutrition has found that red meat intake makes people 35% more likely to develop bowel cancer. As a result, if you're taking your dad out for dinner on Father's Day, for God's sake, don't take him out for a steak. I'll be having a spaghetti dinner with a good garlic sauce myself. And I just wish I had the opportunity to do the same for my dad. I'll be seeing you Monday, and remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
FSCK, the corporate media, is a presentation of ATI Zine along with Prime Anarchist Productions. This podcast will be broadcast on a webcast with a once-a-week deadline, and our goal will always be to keep it under 39 minutes so you can put two shows on a disc and hand it to someone who doesn't have internet. If we go long, please edit us from the bottom up, the way journalism was supposed to be. Don't hate the media. FSCK, the corporate media.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me. Hello, Houston.
You betcha. We're glad to have you back. You were accused of inciting a riot and resisting arrest and all that stuff. And last time we talked to you, your court case was pending. But I found out about it fast, too, because they wrote about you in the New York Times last week. Isn't that right?
Right, right. They put it right on the front page, top fold, right underneath the picture of Mr. Cerrone and Mr. Bush.
Yeah, tell us why it made the New York Times, because there was something very interesting that happened at a recess at your case.
Well, yeah, what had happened was the officers took the stand and for 2.5 hours accused me of kicking and behaving violently and said that it had taken 4 officers, him included, and 3 others to carry me across the street to the paddy wagon. And after he was done testifying, we offered a videotape into evidence. And interestingly enough, the district attorney had never made a request for evidence, so he never even asked for any of the evidence we were going to offer. That's why it came in so late. And we gave it to him after the officer testified. It was obvious that the officer wasn't even in the videotape himself. And the district attorney invited the officer back after that day's work in the courthouse and asked him if he could find himself in the videotape, and he couldn't.
Even Jesus would never forgive what you do.
We don't know and have not called arrested.
Chief Ramsey, we are not going to start this hearing out today with each of you putting information on the public record that is false.
No way was am I attempting to mislead or to change the facts as they exist. The action wasn't preemptive. It simply was the intent of the department to try to stifle anyone's First Amendment rights. In fact, there were items taken, sleeping dragons and things of that nature. There was information concerning all implements of a crime create these devices called sleeping dragons and sleeping dragons and things of that nature. What a sleeping dragon is, you mentioned earlier about undercover officers being in the convergence center. There's nothing sinister here. It's simply all kind of all those people who are in our city, those that live here, those that work here, and those that visit. Undercover officers trying to shut down the city, but entrapment is certainly something that we cannot engage in. I mean, it's just, it's unlawful, it's wrong. We should not do that. The majority of people who come to our city to exercise their First Amendment rights are peaceful people. They don't engage in any unlawful puppets. They don't intend to engage in any unlawful puppets. Unfortunately, we do monitor websites very closely. These things are very, very complex. What we have found is many of the people that come to protest find it very discouraging that their message gets overshadowed by puppets. Puppets. There are elements within groups, undercover officers, that would take it to a higher level beyond just sleeping dragons and signs and discussion and things of that nature. Puppets. Puppets, sleeping dragons, and things of that nature. All that kind of thing, things of that nature. Unpermitted activities, sleeping dragons, and things of that nature, and all that sort of thing. Trying to shut down the city, cause property damage, all that sort of thing. Where the aim was to shut down the city. They were going to shut down the city. They were going to shut down the city. They were going to engage in something called puppets. 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 Sleeping dragons, and things of that nature. And I'm often wrong. I mean, that's not an attempt to try to deceive, but there was an awful lot of talk on the internet as well as in other circles about puppets, sleeping dragons and things of that nature. Seattle experienced a variety of problems. The police, McDonald's, The Gap, Banana Republic, Citibank, the corporate entities that represent, in the minds of some, implements of a crime. We did speak with people from the Seattle Police Department about shutting down the city, about engaging in these acts of criminality. criminal behavior such as all time. This isn't trying to, and one of the things that makes me uncomfortable here when we keep talking about puppets. Had it not been for the reality of the civil rights movement in the 1960s, I wouldn't be sitting here all time. Puppets. I mean, protest is good. I respect that. I respect it a great deal. But I also respect any conspiracy to try to stifle First Amendment. Any preemptive, as the term has been used, action on our part to try to take away individual rights. All time. That's simply not what we do. It is certainly not what I believe in. It is certainly not what I expect from any member of the Metropolitan Police Department or any law enforcement agency that might be working alongside it. I was present at Pershing Park. I came up wrecked. While I'm there, I'm always the chief of police. I can't change that. However, like any executive, I delegate certain responsibilities about undercover officers. All time. Puppets. I am the field commander. There is no question about that. I am ultimately responsible for everything. I think it's important to note that the conversion center had numerous puppets. We also had an added concern with its proximity to puppets, asking that we quote-unquote free the puppets. Puppets. Whatever the target might be, target in terms of hundreds and hundreds of puppets. Sharp objects and other things like that. Puppets. Hundreds and hundreds of sleeping dragons, threat of terrorism, puppets, that our department has supported in the past 3 years to damage property and disrupt the functioning of our city. Talk time became a major implement of the crime. As I mentioned at the beginning of my statement, our department has cooperated fully with the committee.
Each of you putting information on the public record that is false, and I'm going to correct the record.
Implements of the crime. Paul Tide, arrestee, undercover officers.
Chief Ramsey.
Implements of the crime, and so forth.
And I'm going to correct the record.
Walking through life, I would never fall if I could be close to it all and all. If I could be close to it all. If I had my dream, I would not fall down. If I could live high on the ground, the sound of high is a good many around. If I could be close to it all. And they wanna be close to it all and all. I wanna be close to it all. The village sugar takers, Madison Avenue pink dream makers. They tried to escape from it all, but instead they built walls, that's all. But they wanna get close to it all. If I had my dream, I would fill a hall and tell all the people to tear down the walls that keeps them from being a part of it all, 'cause they gotta get close to it all. There's just one more thing that I wanna say. Everyone's got their own special way that keeps them from getting too close to the day. Accept and be part of it all and all. Everyone tear down your own little walls that keep you from being a part of it all. 'Cause you gotta be one with the one and all. You gotta be all. Tear down the wall.
thousand people, a people by themselves, trying not to lose hope when you're blind, doing a submissive by the people, taking away life, I can't understand, seeming justified. While showing new defenses, homie, it's who decides where my freedom and acceptance, not to fight. Trying to stop the traveling silence, even for some else's dream, trying to find the truth. It gets too hard to believe, the house cannot stand. When it's deeper on her knees, it's no way to live, it's no way to be free. Why would someone feel the best and tell me the truth is hard to weigh my freedom and expect not to fight? Tomorrow, when you've lost your dreams, your freedom will follow. Set off and still divide your people, our people divide themselves. The only thing holding up a wall are the people who don't tear it down yet. Why would someone feel affected? Tell me to decide to aim my freedom. Expect me not to fight. Yeah, I've been survived the people. My people divide themselves. Trying not to lose hope when you rise to the young. I've been survived the people. Changing the way of life. Can't understand. Seems justified. Why someone would feel affected? Tell me to decide to aim my freedom. And expect me not to fight. I should stand.